music. This audiobook is about music, but it's also about a chance encounter in the English market in Cork. The English market is a covered, big general market where you can buy just about anything in the way of food that you could find in Ireland. It's a wonderful place, and it's where the Queen of England or Great Britain and Northern Ireland visited last year. And the point about the connection with music is that I'd recorded earlier in the day some reactions of mine to Madame Butterfly, and I was really sort of overcome with, to a certain extent, with emotion following listening to a piece of Puccini, Madame Butterfly. And then I went on about my business. I went and had a very serious meeting, or two serious meetings, and I then walked through the English market and I went to buy some bread. And I went to the bread stall and I wanted to buy some bread because this evening there's a meeting of people who tweet in my house, people who tweet from Glanmire. And I want to get something small, you know, no big deal. It's not a big cookery job on my part. But I decided, let's get some really good bread. So I went to the bread stall and I said, I'll have the best looking piece of bread you have. And the woman there picked me out a particular piece of bread, which I thought, great, that's just what I want. And I said, that's the last one of those you have. Is that right? And she said, well, no, we have a second one. So I said, oh, great, I'll have the two of them. And standing beside me were two young people, one of whom had a Nikon camera around his neck and the other a woman with him. And we hadn't spoken or anything. And they said, oh, looks lovely. Can we have one of those? And I knew immediately, of course, that this was going to be impossible. So in a fit of generosity, influenced by a lady in Canada, whose name has temporarily gone out of my head, but we'll come back in a second, I said, well, would you please cut the two pieces of bread into two and give these two people one of the pieces? So I would take three away and they would have one. And they said, oh, no, no, no. And I said, nonsense, you know, this is generosity from a complete stranger. And I listened to their accent and I realized that they were German. And they said, this is ridiculous. And I said, it's not ridiculous. This is a good way to live. And then I said, by the way, where are you from? And they said, they're from Germany. And they said they were from Nuremberg. And I said, ah, my favorite opera, Meistersingerland. So, the Wagner's opera, Die Meistersinger from Nuremberg, is probably my second favorite opera. The Ring cycle would be my most favorite, but Wagner's opera is just another one of these operas which means a huge amount to me. And there's a song in it called the Prize Song, and at one stage I had many recordings, different recordings, by people, almost everybody you could think of, I suppose. Probably, I might even have had a recording by Jussi Björling, who isn't a Wagnerian tenor at all, but I certainly had Placido Domingo and lots of other very old singers singing that piece. But I was immediately kind of transported back into the world of the Meistersingers, just chatting to these people over bread. And I was transported back to 1976 in the English National Opera, where Reginald Goodall conducted that opera. Actually, I'm not 100% sure if it was in the English National Opera or Covent Garden that I first saw Meistersingers. But the point is more about music, that it seems to be a day today about music. And, you know, if I was really on top of my game, I'd now play you a small piece from that. But it's five hours long, the opera. Three big acts, and it has, you know, it goes right back to the German guilds of the, oh God, let me say 13th and 14th century, and all the rules that they had governing membership, and the rules they had as a consequence, the rules they had governing the form of singing competitions that they held, all of which is kind of partly parodied by Wagner in the opera. And Wagner makes a huge point. I now feel the connections coming together about generosity, generosity of spirit in that opera. Because Hans Sachs, who is one of the greatest characters in all opera, and about whom there will be many stories to be told if I carry on in a musical vein into the future, Hans Sachs turns to the young Turk of an angry young fabulous singer who sang from the heart, and asks him to be generous enough to recognize that behind the fiddledy-diddledy, you know, pedantic, rule-bound spirit of the guilds, personified in one of the characters in the opera, lies a wish for something good. And Hans Sachs sort of pulls it all together at the end, so that there isn't just love between a young man and a young woman, which of course is what the whole thing revolves around, if you like, as most many operas do. If they're not going to revolve around somebody being dying on stage, they're going to revolve around somebody falling in love on stage. But the whole thing is about generosity, and that seems to be a theme that extended from British Columbia this morning at an early hour, where I got another example of generosity, which came via the 12 in 12 community to hear. So there we are, generosity themes. Isn't it true? Don't some days seem to come in themes? You know, behind your back, a theme emerges, a kind of, you know, a leitmotif kind of is generated and played, and underpinning all the different activities that are going on is the strain of what Wagner called a leitmotif, L-E-I-T-M-O-T-I-V, I think. Maybe that nice man in Berlin, who's on Audio Boo in February, Keith, will chip in with his knowledge of German. But there we are. Look, this is offered in the spirit of generosity that seems to be holding my hand all day. Bye-bye.
P.S. The lady in British Columbia, Canada, is Jane Boyd, B-O-Y-D. She goes under the Twitter name Boyd Jane. And she's the one who came to me with a tweet very early in the morning. And more or less, I see that tweet now as the first note in the leitmotif of generosity that has gone right through this day. Bye-bye.